and UFO sightings reported around the world every month. 90% of these sightings can be explained, but 10% cannot. Officially and unofficially, the U.S. military has been investigating UFOs since 1947. Their top secret goal is to find out what's behind these unexplained sightings. The Pentagon classifies them as unusual airborne anomalies. But a better term is X-Files. Join us as we explore these unsolved cases, UFO incidents that baffle even the U.S. military. This is Mac Maloney's Military X-Files. And now, here's Mac Maloney.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Mac Maloney's Military X-Files show here on the Distant Thunder Radio Network. Wow, this is Mac Maloney. What a show we have for you tonight. I can't believe it. But first, I have to tell you, full disclosure, girls, the very famous 1-1 is not here, so you can put that extra big box of Kleenex away. You can shut off your fans. But he is going to be calling in later on. We're doing a remote, as they say, in the business. Also, we're cocoa-free tonight. He's out there fighting for us in some kind of secret mission. We don't know where. However, we got a gang of people here that will more than make up for them. First of all, on the phone with us from Battle Creek, Michigan, the Battle Creek of the Republic, up where they make all the cereals, the bowl of flakes, the very almost equally famous Switchblade Steve Ward.
It is great to be here, Mac.
Okay. All right. That's it?
I lost my script.
Okay. All right. Not the first time. Okay. Also in the studio with us, the very famous Agent X is with us, making a rare live appearance.
Thanks for having me, and I'm glad to be here, Mac.
Okay. All right. You're wearing an Army shirt. Why?
Veterans Day is coming up.
Okay. All right.
Why else?
You were in the Army. I don't know.
I was for a long time.
Also in the studio with us, also making a rare live appearance, is our security chief, Willie Club, is here.
Hi, Mac.
Okay, it seems like we should actually give Club a round of applause.
Well, it's good to be here, and okay. I'm very happy to see things look very secure.
They do. Okay. All right. It's good to know. Where have you been? Anyway. Now, I'm saying all this because we have a special guest in the studio with us, and that's why we're all kind of nervous. Okay. This is a friend that we got to know at the Exeter UFO Festival about 6 weeks ago or so, and I think it's safe to say that she livened up the whole event. Marina Rose is here with us.
Hello, Matt. Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
Did I say your name right?
Yes, you did. Thank you.
All right. Yes. You gave me that little clue off here. I'll never forget it. So, what do you think so far?
I'm having fun.
You are? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. That could
Can't
change.
Can't wait to see what's next.
That could change at any moment. So you were at the festival. Did you see our talk, the Mac Maloney Military X-Files?
I did not.
Oh.
I did not. I missed it.
Oh,
yes.
Really?
I know.
Okay. All right.
I know.
Okay. You know, a fight broke out in the middle of the talk
point.
And everything?
Yeah. I missed it. I missed the whole thing, yeah.
Can I ask where you were?
I was out front.
Oh, out front?
At my table.
With the
yeah.
UFO. Oh, I see. Okay. They were out there selling those UFO hot dogs and the UFO hamburgers.
There you
and
go.
Stuff.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
I love that. But it was a good
Priorities.
Time. How many times, how many years have you done that?
This is my first year.
Yeah, ours too. It was good, though.
It was a good crowd.
Yeah, and they do a really good job.
Yes.
You know, kind of putting it together, and everyone has the right sense of humor and stuff, you know.
Yes.
But there are a lot of people there who are serious, you know, right now.
Yes. A big combination.
Right, yeah.
Sure.
And then we had that meet and greet Saturday night.
Yes.
The civilians meet the authors and stuff, the presenters.
Yes.
That was also
fun.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then we were on the radio the next day.
Yes.
At noon,
with Paul and Ben.
Right.
Yep.
With Paul and Ben.
Yep.
I think they put you way down the other end of the table
for some reason.
There's a coincidence in those. So thanks for joining us tonight. And tell people what you do, if you can. What's your elevator pitch, as they say in the biz?
Oh, my elevator pitch. I'll try to make it short and sweet. So I do a lot of spiritual work. I bring groups to international places around the world and do deep dive soul transformation work with them. I read hands. It's called scientific hand analysis, actually, and the lines of the palm of our hand are connected to the neural pathways in our brain. So it's a literal imprint of what's going on with us emotionally. So that's the quick overview of what I do. I had my UFO encounter about 3 years ago, and I have incorporated all of the healing work that I do with, let's say, the galactic family that I connected with. They work through me. It's changed my life. It's allowed me to be more compassionate than I ever thought was possible.
Wow,
so that's my elevator speech.
How old were you when you were when you had the UFO encounter?
It was just 3 years ago, so...
3 years, wow.
I was 43.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
You mean 23.
Yeah, right.
I was just going to say, Mac, you never asked that question. Come on, get with the program.
I didn't.
Jeepers. It's all good.
It's radio, but I'm turning red.
Marina, I'm doing my best. What can I do? He's on the other
side. I was
side.
Just shocked that you came out with that age because you don't look...
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank you. So what happened? Can you tell us?
Sure, yeah. So it was 2016, April 9th, and I was just having a really, really good day. I had been doing a lot of connecting with my spiritual guides. Life had changed for me, and I went into a meditation. I do a meditation every night.
Whoops.
And
they might be them calling you right now. Who knows?
I specifically asked when I went into my meditation for me to be shown something that would shift my perception of reality, either in my meditation or by the time I woke up in the morning. And I immediately went into the meditation, and I knew it was very different right away. And a being came to me, actually, in a little mini... auroric type ship right through the walls of my house.
Wow, we.
Really? Yeah.
Okay. And then what happened?
She started telepathically communicating to me and told me that we needed to go for a ride and I needed to go with her.
Yes.
So I knew. I was like, yes, I know.
Did you go for a ride?
Yes.
Wow. Okay, so, hang on.
Yes.
Because I got to introduce our other two guests, okay? Because this is getting too good. Okay. Also on the line with us during the party, around two friends of ours, two writers, and also, veterans, Brian Andrews and Jeff Wilson. And I know that one of the series they do is called Tier One. Okay, and I'm looking over at X here, and you're familiar with that right there?
I am, yes.
Okay, X used to work in the
business
as well.
Outstanding.
Brian Andrews, thanks for joining us. Let's give him a round of applause because he's a veteran. Where are you, Brian?
I'm in Kansas City.
Okay, Kansas City. Okay, all right. You're not a Chiefs fan, are you?
How could I live in Kansas City? So
okay. All right. If we hang up on you, don't take it personally. Also, Jeff Wilson, because we're all Patriots fans here. I'm assuming everyone in the room is?
Of course.
Okay. Yeah. That's unanimous. Jeff
I'm
Wilson.
I'm agnostic.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, switching.
Yeah. I'm the guy that empties the trash.
It's football. We're talking football on this one. Jeff Wilson, you're down in Florida then, right?
Yep. Down in Tampa. That's right.
Oh, wow. Huh? Weather's nice down there?
I wouldn't mind it being a little cooler right now, but yeah, it's getting close to where it's good weather here.
See, that's the way to twitch us guys up here where it's getting cold. He wants it to be a little cooler. Okay.
No, I lived there for 3.5 years. Two seasons, hot and hot and miserable.
Oh, really? Yeah. I come every year?
February, it's freezing down in the 70s. We can barely bear it. Man.
That's bad. How many books have you guys written together?
Oh, geez. Let's see. So we've got 7 that are out there, and we've got a couple that are done and will be coming out over the next year or two. So we've been writing together for a couple of years. It's getting harder to keep track. But
okay.
I guess, what have we done? Like 8 or 9, Brian? Something like that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. It's a pain in the ass writing a book, isn't it?
I don't know. For some people, I guess. I got to tell you, for me, it's like never having to grow up. Someone's paying me to like act like an 8-year-old and use my imagination, play soldier with my best friend. Like, it's kind of fun, to be
wow.
honest.
Wow. Okay. All right. Marina, have you written a book?
I'm writing a book right
now.
Oh,
really?
Now.
Okay. Yeah. So you're in the valley of the miserable, in other words,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Yes. I suppose you could say that.
Okay. Good. All right. So, we have another author here, X. It's a pain in the ass, right, X?
Well, actually, my friend has written a book which comes out on May 7th,
right. Your
as you know.
Your dear friend, right. Go
and
ahead.
It's historical fiction about a great battle between the Irish and the Scots and the Vikings in 1014. And for our guests, it does feature Special Operations Forces as well.
Wow, huh? Way back when?
1014 A.D.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Anno Domini.
Okay. So who invented the Special Forces? I thought the Knights Templar were the first Special Forces, no? I'm looking at you like you would know. Sorry, I got to put my shades on. I got to get acclimated to doing the show with my shades.
Special Forces means just what it says. It means a military entity that's designed to do a special mission, regardless of what that mission is.
Okay.
What do you guys think?
I think you're putting the Navy guys to sleep.
I think I agree with that completely.
Okay. All right. So when is your friend's book coming out there, X?
7 May, 2020.
7 May.
Yes,
7th of
mark
May.
It on your calendars.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be immense.
Okay. I'm glad you didn't say huge. So listen, I want to get back to Marina and her story. Okay, now that I think I've introduced everybody, right? More or less. Club, you're watching over things for us?
I sure am. And can I just mention that
I also
have been working on a book on security procedures, and that's going to be out probably by year end.
Really? Yeah. Yes. Okay. All right. Are we mentioned in it at all or as examples?
You are, but using aliases.
Okay, thank you.
I'm writing a book.
You are? Oh, and Switch, you are writing a book as well,
aren't you?
Of
course. Yeah.
That's right.
Want to get Matt the engineer in here? I think he's writing a book. What's the name of your book there, Switch?
Parallels and Patterns, a New Paradigm for the Study of Paranormal Phenomena, that I'm writing with my co-author, Joey Medea.
You've already forgotten them.
I got the name of the book right. I blew the name of my co-author.
A lot of P's in that
one. Yeah, that's what everyone says.
Yeah, it was Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers, but that's been used.
And probably copyrighted, thanks. Probably. So, Marina, so please, continue with your story.
Sure.
So you're in your house? Are you in your bedroom?
I'm in my bedroom.
Bedroom.
Yes.
What time of day is it?
It was 11 o'clock at night.
At night, okay. All right. Now, were you going to sleep? Is that it?
No, I went into a meditation. I do a meditation every night before I go to bed.
Late at night, okay. Does that help you sleep?
Not necessarily help me sleep, but it's just something that I do to check in at the end of the day and connect. So, yeah, so I went for a ride with her, and we went right, you know, this is my at this point I'm in meditation.
Okay.
So basically I'm in meditation, having kind of an astral travel is how it felt. But it felt very, very real.
Yes, sure.
So I kind of went back from observer to feeling like I was there to observing myself back and forth.
Where'd you go?
We went out into the galaxy and felt like we were going crazy fast. Mm-hmm.
How long do you think you were gone for?
Well, the whole time I was out was 2 hours, but it was about 10 minutes is what it felt like.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah.
Wow.
So
that must have been just unbelievable.
Well, the unbelievable parts of the story are when I came back, I had a hip issue that I was suffering from, which is kind of funny because that's the part of the story I forgot to tell in the festival when I was speaking. I was like, that's the whole part of the story.
This is an exclusive event.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
I don't know why, but I'm
covered everything else, you know? And so when I woke up the next morning, I had been dealing with a hip issue for about a year and a half that I was needed to get fixed and was kind of ignoring.
Okay.
And I woke up the next morning and it
was gone.
Healed.
Wow.
And it's been healed ever since.
Now, Switch, I know somewhere in the can, as they say in the business, don't you have a story about UFOs healing people?
Yes, I be too long to talk about now, but it's from a book. Preston Dennett covered about 300 alleged incidences of people that received some kind of a healing, being in close proximity with UFO or what they believe to be an alien or what have you. So it's a fairly common occurrence in the literature. I have a question for Marina. Did you do you believe that you physically left the room, or that were you actually present in the room? This was more of a experience in consciousness.
Yeah, that's a really good question, because to be honest, I still have a hard time answering that. Because it was the biggest part of it was through my meditation. And then we went to the mothership. As I was on the mothership, that's when other aspects happened. But I'm not sure, because then when I got out of the meditation, I was guided to look at my window, and I saw something bouncing up and down out in the sky, out my window. And I was like, what is that? And it looked like a star. And it got me to get up. I opened the curtain in my window, and there was the actual ship that I was on in my meditation was in my backyard in the sky.
Wow.
So it was like they gave me all of these undeniable aspects, right? The healing part of my body, mm-hmm. the physical, I saw it with my physical eyes, and then it was in my meditation. So to answer the question of, did I go on the ship?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It's possible that a third party might have actually seen you in a meditative state, but you're experiencing something real because you experienced, if nothing else, a physical healing.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Okay. And there was a time. So, you know, it was 1 a.m. in the morning when I got out of the meditation, and I immediately looked at the clock thinking, well, that does not make sense because that was like 10 minutes.
Wow. So did it freak you out, you know, for the next days and weeks afterwards? Or?
Oh, my life has completely, I'm a totally different person. Yeah.
Wow, huh?
I mean, I stood in front of my window for probably hours just having, basically I do a lot of timeline. That's the way I look at life and work with my clients. So I was just standing there, and how can your timeline not change, right? When you have this experience,
right.
Now everything that you're looking at that you had an opinion of or how you lived your life.
Yep.
You can't.
It's changed.
It's changed.
So when you
it's
say
changed.
Timeline, you mean you look at every day as a day to.
Yeah. So I look back on different childhood experiences.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You know, why did this happen? How did this happen? You know, I made this decision based on this belief of perception of reality.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. And what, well, I have to ask the Navy guys about this. Now just briefly. Brian and Jeff, what did you guys do in the Navy? Short answer. Go ahead, Brian.
Well, we're both veterans, so yep. neither one of us is active duty right now.
Okay.
We're both running a full time, but I was in the submarine community.
Okay.
And me too.
So was Switchy. Yep.
Yep. And Jeff served with Naval Special Warfare.
Okay. All right. So, you know, in your time, I mean, you know, this story fascinates me. What do you guys think of this? Because I think your feet are a little bit more on the ground than mine might be, especially right now. But, you know, I mean, when you hear something like this out of the blue, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I think there's a thousand things out there that we can't explain. I mean, I think it's easy to be a skeptic and dismiss things out of hand. But I think that when you hear similar stories told over and over and over again, it makes you at least pause and ask mm-hmm. if there's not some science behind it. Obviously, you know, both of us have a science background, so we're grounded in science, but there's plenty of things out there that I don't understand. So I resist the urge to dismiss anything out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was that recent story from with video from the F-18 pilots, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where they engaged this thing, and the video footage was recently released. And, you know, this F-18 driver, he did an entire career, definitely a credible guy, definitely someone, a master of physics and aviation, and he saw things he can't understand. So it's easy to dismiss things and be a skeptic, but I think you got to keep an open mind.
Right.
I certainly don't have an explanation for the story that would dismiss it or confirm it. Right. So you got to just listen, take it at face. And,
mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that Marina's story isn't if she was the only person that experienced
right.
something like this,
right.
you could say, well, that's if it's probably, you know, imagination or perhaps. But there are thousands over the past several decades of similar experiences
right.
that people have had.
Marina, why do you think it happened to you? Because like stuff like this never happens to me, and I feel like it would never happen to me.
Yeah, that's actually a great question, because I was not really a believer before this happened. I was not a seeker of UFO research.
Mm-hmm.
I was definitely on a spiritual journey and had been and doing the spiritual work for about 10 years
okay.
prior to this. But if we had a conversation about, you know, what do I think is beyond us, I'd be like, I know there's something,
sure.
but I don't know what it is. And
yes.
I didn't really feel like I needed to dive into it. So to answer the question, why I think it happened to me, I know it happened to me because it happened at the right time in my life where I really needed to wake up.
Interesting.
They woke me up.
Okay. Wow. Huh.
They started through connecting with them. I've been able to love myself more than I ever thought was possible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I've been able to share that with others.
Is it a guardian angel type situation?
You know, a lot of people think angels are extraterrestrials, mm-hmm. right?
Sure.
So most certainly. You
Whoever
know,
or whatever they are.
Of course, yeah.
If someone sounds like someone's looking over you, for you, yes. I'm looking over you.
Oh, for sure. Hmm. I mean, I feel that on some level this was a soul contract that I had agreed to, that I'm here working for them, with them.
Right,
and
yeah.
this was the right time for me to, you know. So part of what happened when I was on the ship was there was a the only part that I remember is there was a beach, and the sun was on the ship. Yes, I was like, I know, nice. This doesn't make sense,
that
but I'm on a UFO,
though.
And I didn't think I'd be on a UFO.
Right.
So I just went with it. So there was a beach, and there were these ergonomic lounge chairs coming out of, like, they had all these herbs and vines that would help heal your body.
Wow.
And
huh.
I was telepathically told that this was a very important life force energy for these beings. So I sat down, and these dolphins started kind of jumping out of the water, and they kind of pulled at my feet, like with their, you know, little nozzles, okay. lovingly.
Yes.
And they were very excited to see me and had been telling me that they were waiting for a very long time.
Okay, we had to do that. Okay, yes. But wow. And what's your state of mind? Are you letting all this happen to you? Do you know that it's the right thing happening, or are you questioning what's going on?
I felt like I had come home.
Interesting. Wow.
And
wow.
the whole time that I was on the ship, like behind my right side of my head, I was being told my mother's essence was there. My mother's essence was there, like a broken record.
Wow.
She had passed away in 2007.
Wow.
And after this happened, I talked to my friend the next day that was friends with my mother, that was my mother's neighbor.
Okay.
I only live a mile up the road.
Okay.
So my friend starts telling me, did you know that your mother used to tell me she used to see ships going in and out of the river behind your house?
I was just going to ask you, does it run in the family, right? And she just never mentioned
it. I didn't know that.
Well, that's strange. And I don't know how to say this, but, you know, you're here in the studio and how should I say it? I don't want to say a normal looking person, but you are.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
I thought you looked pretty
kinda,
normal.
Kind of hot, normal looking person. I mean, what do you want to say? Okay. So, but I can tell by the way you're telling us the story that something really fundamental happened to you.
I am a different person. Everybody that knows me will, yeah, definitely say I've definitely changed.
Can we get them in here and talk to them?
I'm sure. Yeah.
Okay. Can you tell us what kind of a different person you were?
Again, you know, the compassionate. They actually worked on me through my heart. I know this stuff is going to sound crazy.
That's okay. You're on the right show.
But, I actually went to the doctor for a few years because I was having heart. Things happen,
okay,
sort
sure.
of
palpitations,
and
yep.
they were not really explainable, and that's basically where I feel like they've been tapping in to open up
mm-hmm.
really the deeper love that I wasn't able to open up to prior to this.
Wow.
So,
any religious connotations, or is this non-religious?
No.
That's good.
Yep. No.
I like that idea, frankly. Wow. Brian, what do you think of this? I'm just going to go right around the table. Get ready there, buddy.
Yeah, I don't have, I mean, I guess I would just echo Jeff's sentiments. I really don't have mm-hmm. any personal experience with this sort of thing. I did find the, like Jeff was saying, I did find the F-18 videos interesting, compelling.
Right.
I'd love to take a tour of Area 51. That bill wasn't in the cards for me. Never made my way out there. But you know,
right? I mean, I think just the fact that someone in the Navy actually admitted, like about a month ago, that that they don't know what those things on the videos are either. Just the fact that they admitted it, I think, is kind of a big step mm-hmm. in a way. You know. So, listen.
And, I can vouch for the fact that Marina is compassionate.
Uh-oh.
Oh, okay. That's very kind of
switch.
You.
Yeah, it has to do with that pink.
Switch is 700 miles away.
Come on. It has to do with the pink blanket at the end.
Oh, just tell us now. You've teased us. Just tell us. Can you tell us in 42 seconds?
Well, she said she would share her table with me. We have that very small room for the vendors and so forth, people selling their wares, so to speak.
Yes.
And all she had was a pink blanket. But she enlisted the aid of Kathleen Marden. Kathleen Marden is the niece of Betty and Barney Hill,
yes.
who had other blankets that looked a little more macho, and so, or at least neutral anyway. So,
where is this going?
Well, here I am a dude sitting behind a pink blanket. You know? I mean, I'm comfortable with my own sexuality, and I could have handled it. Okay. But she got the other color blanket in there, and it looked pretty good to go over the table, you know.
Okay. So let's recap. So she put a pink blanket over your table. Is that what you're saying?
Well, she came with a pink blanket, but then when she found out I was going to be there, sharing the table, she realized, you know, that maybe she could we could do something else. And Kathleen Martin had an extra blanket,
okay,
but it was kind of a dark brownish color, I think. And wow.
You went blanketless then, were you right?
Oh, I didn't bring a blanket. Okay. No, I didn't think about it. So, okay. But next time I will, just in case.
Where's the pink blanket? So you didn't use the pink blanket?
No.
Is that what you're saying? You didn't?
We borrowed Kathleen's.
Oh, yes. Okay. All right.
Wait a minute.
Switch.
I liked you when I met you. This was not in the middle of the winter out in the tundra. What does a male need a blanket for?
Or a pink blanket.
Blanket.
Okay. You have one of these bare tables that you put your stuff on. People usually put some kind of blanket or cover.
It's talking about tape, tablecloths.
All right, shut my mouth. Yeah. I thought you had it wrapped around your shoulders in August.
Bob, you have anything to say about this? You're passing.
No, I'll tell you, when we just met, Marina and I, tonight, and when I shook hands with her, I got a very comforting feeling.
Really, yeah?
There was something... And I don't know what it was. But,
she hugged me.
Well, I just got the handshake. But
okay.
I have plenty of hugs to go around.
Really? Yeah? Okay. We'll be ending the show early tonight. So listen, guys, just tell us a little bit about your books and, you know, and what they're about and so on. The Tier 1 books. Go ahead, Brian.
So the Tier 1 series is the one that's... doing so great for us. We've got a new series that's coming out next year we're excited about. But Tier 1 is basically a military thriller series. It focuses on a Navy Tier 1 SEAL whose entire unit is wiped out in an ambush, and he's afforded the opportunity to be among the dead and assume a new identity and hunt down the people responsible. So it's a straight-up covert operations thriller. Book 5 in the series is coming out November 5th. So we're just around the corner, a couple weeks out, and we're super excited.
How long does it take you to write a book?
When we were writing individually, I think it took me about 9 months, and Brian maybe a little longer than that. And when we first started writing together, it would take us probably 5 or 6 months to do a book.
Mm-hmm.
And now it takes, I don't know, 3 to 4 months to do a book together.
That's nice to get it down to, you know, such a small time frame. Do you each write a chapter each, that type of thing, and then pass it by each other?
Yeah, that's exactly what we do. So we sort of divide and conquer. We brainstorm the whole thing together, and we get on the same page, and then we start writing in tandem. So he's writing a few chapters while I am doing the same, and then we swap them back and forth and rewrite each other's work so that, you know, there's some fluidity to it and some constant voice. So
nice.
Yeah, it definitely makes it more efficient to have a co-author.
How many words?
I guess our average book is about 110,000.
Wow-wee. I've been there, brother. I know what it's like to, you know, write one of those doorstops. So listen, why don't we take a quick break now? And when we come back, we'll talk to the gang again. And then eventually, I think we're going to go to a remote from the Starboard Galley, our favorite bar down there in Newport. But let's see. So why don't we take a commercial break? Now you're listening to Mac Maloney's Mill Tracks Show here on the Distant Thunder Radio Network. Marina Rose is here with us. Did I say it right again?
Yes, okay. You did.
Excellent. X is here with us. Clubhouse Security Chief is here with us. Switchy is here with us. And also Brian Andrews and Jeff Wilson, who are Navy vets and also authors. And they have the same agent as X has. He's, you know, frantically signaling me to mention.
My friend.
So why don't we take a commercial break now, and we'll be right back after this. You're listening to Mac Maloney's Mill Tracks, our show here on the Distant Thunder Radio Network. We'll be right back after these words.
The wait is over. The forces of freedom are on the rise again. Enemies of America, it's time to look up and see what's flying overhead. Because Hawk Hunter, the wingman, is back. In the Odessa raid, Mac Maloney's latest installment in the Wingman series,
Hawk Hunter leads a 10,000-mile transglobal air raid against a secret Arctic base belonging to his archenemy, Russian super spy, Viktor Robotov. The world's worst villain barely escapes with his life, and Hunter vows to track him down again. But suddenly, the wingman is needed elsewhere. Hawk must help a small colony of war survivors fight off a Russian invasion. Then he's pressed to search for a Canadian warship lost in the Bermuda Triangle. But when Hawk attempts to free an American spy from a Russian prison, he suddenly finds a chance to fulfill his original mission. Follow all the high-flying action and intrigue in the latest addition to Mac's best-selling Wingman series. That's Wingman 19, The Odessa Raid, available at your local bookstore and on Amazon.com.
Hello, this is Nurse Kayla, and if you don't want me to hit you with my spoon, then you better listen to Mac Maloney's Military X-Files. And now, here's Mac.
Welcome back, everyone. Mac Maloney's Miltrax Show here on the Distant Thunder Radio Network. This is Mac Maloney. Wow, what a show we have for you tonight. It's been crazy. It was. I thought for sure it was going to be a circus, and I think I'm right. Anyway, let me just go left to right here. Security Chief Willie Club is here with us.
Hi, Mac. Hi, everyone.
What was the what did I title the email I sent to you this afternoon?
You sent me a lot of emails this afternoon.
One of them said, welcome to the circus. Remember that one?
Yeah, I knew that anyways.
Okay, all right. Yeah, it was no surprise. Okay, Agent X is here, the guy who works for the agency that works for the agencies.
And Geogrich Mac.
There you go. That was Irish, I guess. Was that Gaelic there?
It was, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
All right. For all our Irish listeners. Also in the studio with us tonight, gracing us with her presence, is Marina Rose. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Mac. Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me.
Okay, and you just told us how you took a trip in a UFO once, man. I'm really interested in how that went and how it affected your life because obviously it had a change in you.
Yes. Right? Yes, it did.
Okay. Well, if you come back someday, some segment, we'll devote an hour to it. Mm-hmm. Would you be able to do that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
We put music behind it?
Plenty to talk about, oh, cool. For sure. That's yeah.
Excellent. Okay. Also, Switch is on the Switch Blade. Steve Ward, our natural correspondent, is up there in the bowl of flakes. The battle.
And it's great to be here.
Okay. All right. Just real quick, Switch, what did you have for breakfast today?
I had two blueberry Pop-Tarts with frosting.
Oh, wow, man.
And several cups of hot black coffee.
Drinking it like, man, okay. That's healthy. Those Pop-Tarts really, they fortify you, right?
Yes.
And blueberries are also very good for you.
Yeah.
We're also on the line with us. We're talking to Brian Andrews and Jeff Wilson, who are Navy vets who also write a series called Tier 1, a special ops kind of series, a lot of action, a lot of excitement, and a lot of buzz about it. But thanks for joining us again, guys, Brian and Jeff.
Good to be here. Thanks.
Okay, now I'm going to throw a question first at you two guys, and you just tell me yes or no, and this is going to probably bum everyone out, but I'm just interested, okay? Let's go to Brian first. Everyone will know what the question is after I ask Brian. And we'll just go around the horn, okay? Do you think that there's a chance there'll be a military coup in this country in the next 5 years?
No.
Jeff, what do you say?
No, I agree with Brian.
What do you say, X?
No.
Club?
No, there'll be an election.
Okay. Marina?
No.
No. Switchy?
No.
Okay. I'm going to
say.
Great
question there, Mac.
I'm going to say yes.
Oh.
Okay. I think it's possible because if history leads up to these things, and sometimes you just can't stop history. But anyway, so I, suck all the energy out of the room. It's a bummer. So guys, when you you write a book, it takes you 4 months to write it. Then how long does it take to get published?
It sort of depends on if you're using traditional publishing or you're self-publishing. The traditional publishing cycle with one of the larger publishers is, they operate on a pretty long calendar because there's an entire production schedule. So you're looking at, a minimum of 18 months from the time the contract is signed till the book is out, maybe longer.
Right. Right.
If you're self-publishing and you're just releasing it on Amazon, then you can put the book up as soon as you're done. I mean, it could be up a month after you're finished.
One thing that's really
understand for us, we're contracted for multiple books at a time.
Right.
So, we finish a book within
sometimes 6 to 10 months of when it's going to come out at this point. So once you're in a contract for a multi-book deal, then you've got a little bit more control of the timing and stuff like that. But with a first book, it can be a long, painful process.
Right.
For sure.
But sometimes that's good, because I've been in the same position, and they know. I mean, one thing about publishers to me is that they're the eternal optimists. You know, they'll sign you up for a book that will come out 2 years from now. And I think, man, are we really going to be here 2 years from now? You can tell I have this kind of, you know, depressed, you know, look at the world these days.
We got that from your question.
Yeah, right. Hey, you know, X, well, I've been good to you, X. I'm sorry.
You guys remember from last year when we were on the show, we were doing American Operator, and that book was a scenario that Jeff and I had been looking at. So we wrote that, you know, we started writing that the year before. So 2 years ago, we started brainstorming, you know, things that could happen in Syria. And we were playing around with the idea, okay, what would happen if we pulled out of Syria?
Yes.
And the Russians got in there and started destabilizing the area with false flags. And what would happen if Turkey became an unreliable NATO partner and the tactical nukes and Incirlik became a bargaining tool,
right?
You know, and that was the story, and now here we are, you know, a year later after publication, and that's the sort of thing, those are the discussions that people are having, and it's been
cool. Good timing.
Been interesting for Jeff and I to, you know, be receiving emails from fans and people on social media saying, gosh, you know, how did you guys predict this would happen?
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, you know, good timing. That's always good in the publishing biz as well, you know?
Yeah, better to be lucky than good, that's right. For sure.
And one thing that has changed. Hey, Gary, did I ask you if there's going to be a coup in this country yet?
I agree with you, because if the president withdraws every single troop out of the Middle East and every other part of the world, the industrial complex will not be happy, and they will stage the coup.
I kind of agree with them. I hate to say that, and I know that, you know, anyone has money in the stock market or anything like that would just gonna be wiped out. But as I say, sometimes you can't stop history, and, you know, let's just kind of move on. But the thing is people ask me this all the time, and we got a minute left, is they say, you know, how do you write a book? People ask me this all the time. You know, what's the best way to write a book? And 20 years ago, I'd try to talk them out of it. But these days, you can self-publish and make a lot of money on self-published books, you know? You don't need the publisher anymore. You need an agent, but you don't really need an agent. You agree with me, guys, that it's changed? Just in the past 5 years?
It's definitely changed, but I'm not sure I would agree with that. And if you're going to self-publish, you definitely don't need an agent. So I don't know why you would give 15% to your agent if you're going to self-publish. But I will tell you, while you hear a lot of stories about self-published authors making money, for every one person that made a decent year salary, there's about 1 million people that sold 6 books.
Right.
So
right.
More likely you get struck by lightning 3 times in a row than that you're going to make a lot of money doing a self-published book, unless you have a platform already. I think most of the success stories you see are guys that have a platform and then shift to a hybrid model where they've got some self-published books, some traditionally published books. Mm-hmm. But if you're starting out brand new and you think you're going to get rich doing it self-published, not very likely.
Can I just inject? I think I told you this. I found it fascinating. There are roughly 1 million books published a year.
Yes.
And of that amount, how many do you think sell over 100,000 out of
100,000 copies?
Yes.
It's minuscule.
It's 100. Only 100 books a year sell over 100,000 copies.
Well,
that's pretty intimidating.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, what I was trying to say is, probably didn't say it correctly, is that it has changed so much just in the past 5 years, you know, where 5 years ago, 10 years ago, if you did a self-published book, your chances were nil. But if you do it these days and you get in bed with Amazon, and that's why if you self-publish, you might still want an agent. If you want to get in with Amazon Publishing and really get in their pants, you can make a lot of money, and you don't need what you would call a traditional publisher. You just don't need them. Anyway, why don't we wrap up on that, okay? Because we have this remote happening from the Starboard Galley. So why don't we just thank Brian Andrews and Jeff Wilson for joining us tonight, the authors of Tier 1. Let's please give them a hand.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys. Good luck. And when's the book come out?
November 5th.
And what's the title again?
Red Spectre.
Red Spectre. Okay, November 5th. Okay, thanks, guys, for joining us. We really appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
And, guys, I may hit you up about that blurb, okay? You'll send me an email. Yeah.
And good luck with the Kansas City Chiefs. I really mean that. As a Pats fan, I mean that because I think Mahomes is a really good player. I'm sad to see that he's hurt, you know?
Yeah, well, hopefully he'll be back and we can face off against you guys in the playoffs.
It's the only good. It's the only good game they have in their schedule, you know?
Everybody likes that Mahomes guy.
Thanks, guys, for joining us. So why don't we take a commercial break now? And we'll be right back after this. You're listening to Mac Maloney's Miltrax show here on the Distant Thunder Radio Network. We'll be right back after these brief words.
UFOs are found in Renaissance art, on ancient coins, and etched on cave walls. They're even reported in the Bible. But more surprising is when UFOs are seen the most in times of war. Through centuries, thousands of UFO sightings have been made by high-ranking officials, military pilots, and ordinary soldiers. Often, these fantastic appearances occur at the height of great battles. From World War I to D-Day to Korea, Vietnam, and beyond, military investigators are baffled. Why do UFO sightings spike so drastically during wartime? Could it be mistaken aircraft, or is someone or something looking in on us? In UFOs in Wartime, What They Didn't Want You to Know, Mac Maloney chronicles centuries of these incredible sightings and tries to solve the puzzle of why so many UFOs are seen while humanity is at war. Read about the scare ships, the ghost planes, and the ghost rockets, alien giants in the jungles of Vietnam, UFOs controlling our ICBM bases, dogfights with flying saucers during the Gulf War, and more. 300 pages of unbelievable stories, along with many startling photographs. That's UFOs in Wartime, What They Didn't Want You to Know, by Mac Maloney. On sale at your local bookstore or on Amazon.com.
Should we have it do one more time in the Marilyn Monroe voice?
Yeah.
That we're here? Okay, all right.
Megan Reagan, promo number two.
Hi, I am Megan Reagan, the gang's favorite bartender.
There we go. That sounded good.
And you're listening to Mac Maloney's Military X-Files.
Oof.
And now here's Mac and Juan Juan.
Oof.
And Mac's headphones just fell off.
My headphones literally just fell off. Wow. Okay.
Where are you now?
I have no idea. Hey, welcome back, everyone, to Mac Maloney's Miltrax show here on the Distant Thunder Radio Network. This is Mac Maloney. Wow, what a show we have for you tonight. This is beyond belief, let me just say. All those people here in the background are the people who are on the show. I'm going to go right to left here, or let's say around the table. No ranking order involved. Okay, it's much too hot. Our security chief, Willie Club, is here.
Hi, Mac.
In the studio.
Hi, everyone.
Okay. All right. Willie's the guy who goes through all the mail that is sent to us, right?
Sure do. It's fun.
It is. Is it fun? Yeah? Okay.
Going through all the hemorrhoids.
What did he say?
It's funny. I wear gloves.
Okay. Wow. A little peek into security chief life. Agent X is here, the guy who works for the agency that works for the agency.
Hello, Mac, right? And thanks for having
plug
me.
Your book. Hurry up, please.
Oh,
and not hurry up. I don't mean hurry up.
Golly.
Just go ahead, please.
It's not my book. What's my friend's called? Book is coming out on May 7th, 2020.
The name of it is, what's the name of it?
Wolf of Clontarf. It's about the Scots, the Irish, and the Vikings in the year 1014.
Just tell people the tease is that the Irish kicked the Vikings out of Ireland, all right? I mean, that's your...
Well, they did, but there's more teases. And you wait for my friend.
Okay, your friend.
Give you the rest.
Okay, Marina Rose is with us. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, again. Mac. Hey, everybody.
How many times have I apologized to you tonight, would you say?
Stop that. More apologies.
Is it double digits?
We're good. We're having fun.
Are we? Okay. All right. Also,
that's the spirit.
There you go. That voice you hear in the echo, he's mad now that he wasn't, you know, introduced second, as it says in the contract. You there, JJ?
I am.
Okay.
You're right. It is in the contract.
You're remote from the Stabbit Galley.
Order, by the way.
Right. You're remote from the Stabbit Galley?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And how many Martoonies are you into this thing?
Well, I'm doing it for sure.
I think he said, what did he say? I heard him say six.
Yeah, talking to the microphone, not the microphone.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he's talking into the glass. Okay.
I thought I heard Jack Daniels.
It happens. Okay. Also in there doing the room with him is a good friend, Megan Ragan, who you should really.
Hello, everybody.
Because he's very patient. Okay. On the phone, too, is, and if I forget anyone, just, you know, tell me. Very famous. I feel like I've been doing this all night. Very famous author, well, Hollywood author, Gary Olson is there down in Fredericksburg, Virginia, right? There, Gary?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, well, let's clap for him, too, if you don't mind, please.
Thank you. Autographs later, then.
Okay. So, Fredericksburg, Virginia, that's on the wrong side of the Mason-Dixon line, right?
It is. It's deep in the heart of Dixie.
Is it really? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, good. That's good. Okay. And you've written how many books now?
I've got just one mega book, and it's selling like hotcakes.
Okay.
Flying off the shelf.
Really? And the name of it is?
It is called The 15 Geniuses Behind the Lens, How the Top Film Directors Have Shaped the Movies We See Today.
Okay, wow, huh. Switch, we thought your title was long. Switch, are you there?
Did you introduce me yet?
Yeah, no, I can't remember. I really can't.
I don't have a contract, but it would be nice if you introduced me.
Okay, Switcherino. I feel like, up there in the bowl of flakes, you had two blueberry Pop-Tarts for breakfast, right?
With frosting.
I didn't dream that. Okay. All right. That's good. And how'd you feel all day? Did you feel fortified, full of vitamins?
I feel fine. I was just kind of chilling most of the day, you know?
Chilling. Okay. Chilling. Eating blueberries. It sounds very healthy.
Now that I'm retired, I can chill occasionally.
You don't you have a book to write?
The missus isn't home right now, so all the chores that I'm supposed to be doing are kind of on hold.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Don't you have a book to write? No?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But I'm in the thinking stage right now.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah, just chill a few days. It helps. It really does. Anyway, so, and of course, Coco is here. Commander Cobra just calling in out of the blue from his secret mission somewhere out there defending our freedoms. Coco?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Commander Cobra, you can't tell us where you are?
I am in Western Pennsylvania in the hotbed activity of paranormal and UFO activity, which I have seen none and experienced none to date.
Okay.
And I am standing in a small hut at the end of a range, and it's a very exciting evening for me here.
Is it home on the range or is it artillery range?
It's confused by some people to think it's serious, so I'll leave it at that.
Oh, really? Yeah. Western Pennsylvania.
Okay.
All right, good to know you're there. And when are you coming back? Can you tell us that?
I can't.
Okay, all right, good. All right. If I can ask you something in code, how's the harvest going?
It is in a very happy and comfortable drying stage right now.
Okay, good to know. Right. We're talking about oregano, of course. So so why don't we do this? Why don't we just get to
tomatoes.
This? Okay, tomatoes.
Arugula.
Yeah, he's in the spice trade all of a sudden.
The reason we're on tonight is we're going to do the top 10 robot movies. Okay, everyone excited about that?
Yeah, I am.
A lot of movies made about robots. Switch, is that you pouring some coffee?
No, that's not me.
Okay. How's that? I guess not.
Still not me.
Coke, was that you pouring the scotch?
I wish. I had no drinking when I'm on these trips.
Okay. Silly me. Okay, so everything's good down the galley then? Everyone's all settled?
Yes.
Okay. All right, here we go. So let's get down to our remote in the starboard galley where tonight we're going to do the top 10 robot movies, okay? And this is our new system hookup. Hopefully it works. Megan Reagan is with us, and Gary Olson is going to be our expert, and everyone else can chime in. Top 10 robot movies, okay? I don't know, Gary. When you pitch this, it sounds like a good idea, but I get that feeling that the air is going out of the balloon. Okay. All right.
May I ask a question before we start?
Sure. CC, anytime.
Who is everybody's favorite robot?
Gort.
Wait,
Gort?
I know.
Yep. Let's go ahead. Megan, please.
RTD2. Something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
The original from the original three.
Was he the short one or the little one? Is he the one that looks like a microphone?
The short one or the little one?
Oh, well, they were both little.
Well, that's
people,
clear.
Well, X, now you know why my contract's written on an Etch-a-Sketch.
Yeah, okay. Very fine. Cool.
He's the one that got zapped by the Jawas.
Oh, like we know. Okay. Is he the tall one, or is he the one that looks like a trash can?
Just the tall one with the short thing. He was the short one that looks like he carried beer around on the inside of him.
Okay, good. Okay, all right. So should we go with this? Top 10 robot movies, Meg and Ragan, Down the Starboard Galley, 55 Water Street, Newburyport, Great Seafood, Great Bot, and the Great Service. What more can I say? Oh,
Good
parking.
Martini.
Go ahead. I'm waiting for you to jump in there, JJ.
Awesome martinis, by the way.
Parking out back. Please. Movie number 10, Meg and Ragan. Top 10 robot movies.
The Day the Earth Stood Still.
The Day the Earth Stood Still. Do you remember it, Maureen?
I don't.
Oh, my Lord.
Are you talking about the old one or the new one?
Let's talk about the old one.
Go ahead. Same thing. Same name for robot in both of them, please, by the way.
Klaatu, Barada, Nikto.
I'm just going to say that.
Switchy nose. Okay, let's see. Megan is a millennial. Megan, have you ever seen that movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still?
Yes, I watched it plenty of times with my family when I was very young.
Wow, so the original one. It must
definitely.
Well, maybe no one knew. It could have been the Keanu Reeves one. Who knows?
That one was stupid. I just saw it the other night.
No kidding.
Yeah. Why? What's the surprise in that? Are you a Keanu Reeves fan there, Marina? Any chance?
Kind of, he's okay.
Yeah. Really? Yeah? You like him?
I don't. I'm neutral.
Really? Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Not that good of an actor. Is he?
You don't think?
Oh,
Gary,
he's
a great actor.
Gary, you're the expert. Is he a good actor?
Oh, the best. I think he's got a star in the Hall of Hollywood Walk of Fame.
The good thing, well, anyone can get that. I can get that for you for $50,000 if you want.
Okay,
I mean,
that's
but you have to throw a party. So
okay, I have a question.
Go ahead.
What short story was that movie based on? What inspired that story?
I know
it was by Harry Bates wrote it.
Okay,
it was called Farewell to the Master.
Wow, there you
and
go.
And Klaatu was in it, but the Gort was spelled GNUT. It was a different name.
Wow,
cannot. Yes.
A good trivia question. Super. I mean, the good thing about that movie, and we talked about it before, is that it's a 50s movie, and sometimes you want it to say, okay, let's go. But as I said before, whenever you see Michael Rennie in it, and even though he's in a suit and tie most of the time, he's always the alien. You know what I mean? You always know he's the alien. And the special effects are good at the beginning and the end, too. So that is a really good movie. So do you agree there, Gary, Gio?
Yeah, and guess who directed it?
Well, Robert Wise.
Robert Wise, remember the Sound of Music?
Same guy, the potato chip guy, right?
He was a big believer in UFOs, by the way. He hated the military, so that's why the military gets a bad rap here.
They get dissolved,
The UFOs are the heroes.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Movie number 9, please. Megan Ragan from the Starboard Galley.
The Stepford Wives.
The Stepford Wives.
Yes.
Okay. All of a sudden, X comes to life. What year was that?
1975.
Okay. So when? Anyway,
wow, is that long ago?
That was a long time ago. I think they did.
I had no
time.
Idea that it was a remake.
Yeah, there's a remake of
there
that.
There's a
as
remake.
Well.
Yep.
It's a remake of everything.
That's right.
Believe
seen.
Me, they don't do anything new.
the first one was right. The first one was creepy in a really kind of weird way. Do you remember the one, Marina?
I didn't see the first one.
Yeah.
No.
It's not really a good movie. It's a little bit like a bad horror movie, you know, but in the end you find out, I mean, if you haven't already guessed, all the wives are robots, right? And wasn't it supposed to be General Electric? Wasn't there a General Electric thing in there where it's supposed to be wives of GE?
No.
I'm looking at Club like he would know.
Well, it's before my time. So
oh, really? You too, huh? Wow.
They were slamming Walt Disney. And
is that what it was? Yeah.
And the robots and Disneyland. Mm-hmm. That's supposedly.
But wasn't the twist in it that the husbands actually liked it?
Yeah.
That was the whole story. Okay. It was perfect white suburbia. That's what that was all about.
Right. Okay.
And they wanted their wives to be submissive.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay.
I mean, who wouldn't want that? Right?
Well, I knew JJ. Thank you. Thank you.
Is that the martini talking again? What a shame.
The chocolate.
I'm so glad you said that, JJ.
Okay, here we go. How about movie number 8, please, Mac?
Oh, wait, before you, okay,
sorry.
Before you
oh, gee, off, I'm
I
sorry.
Yes. Just interject this one topical political thing. That remember in 2012, the presidential election, Mitt Romney ran?
Yep.
Okay, go ahead.
And his nickname was called, I remember hearing this, the Stepford husband.
Wow.
That's correct.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Because he was so docile and
yes.
conformist. And
what are you trying to say?
Well, that's how he is. He's,
okay.
He's just right. Like the Stepford wife.
Oh, he's a Stepford husband. In other words, he's a robot.
They had another name for him. It was Empty Suit.
Whoa, Empty Suit. Good name for a CD. Okay, so listen, next movie, please. Megan Ragan.
Westworld, 1973.
Yul Brynner. That's all I remember. Yeah. That was, I mean, those like robots as cowboys, right? I don't think I ever saw it.
Is there a new, is there a yes. TV show based on?
Yeah, HBO yes. series, I think, movie? Right? Yeah.
That's yes, right.
HBO?
Yep.
So what were the other two worlds? Trivia question.
Future World.
Future World.
And Medieval World.
And?
Adventureland.
There was Roman World, too.
What?
What'd you Roman say? World.
Is he saying yeah. Roman World?
Roman and
oh, Roman.
Roman.
You got Switch, you got it all. I got to hand it to you.
Wow, huh? Okay. All right. So, I mean, that was an okay movie. It was like a drive-in
yeah, it
movie.
Yeah, wasn't too bad.
Yeah. Okay. You, Brenna, just going in for the paycheck there, Gary?
No, but you know who wrote the screenplay? I mean, it was based on the novel that he wrote with Michael Crichton.
Oh, that's
correct. Oh, really? Yes.
And hack.
A hack. Yeah. It's a medical doctor. When you get your MD, you can call him a hack.
Yeah. If you're a doctor and you turn into a writer, you got problems there, brother. Next question, please, Megan Ray. No, next movie, please.
AI. Artificial intelligence.
A terrible movie. Terrible.
Horrible.
Terrible, terrible, terrible movie.
Destroyed a great book.
That little kid.
That little kid, awesome. Yeah. The little kid. And you know, I've said this before. There's a part in it where the little kid goes into the fair, like the fair that everyone's on LSD, and he meets Jude Law in there, and he's a robot or something. And the whole movie up to that point is the kid in the teddy bear. The teddy bear talks to him, I think. They actually have conversations. He goes into the carnival. Did you see it, AI?
Maria? Nope.
He goes into the carnival. It goes all through this weird stuff. It's crazy. He loses the teddy bear. Now, it's heartbreaking. This kid's a robot who can cry, okay? Mm. Steven Spielberg. Mm. Who else? He loses his teddy bear, and then the scene ends, and he walks out of the carnival with his teddy bear, and it continues on into the movie, making a big deal in the movie, but they never say how he got it back. Mm-hmm. And that's just really bad. Sorry, movie making. Don't you agree,
okay,
then?
I got a quirk thing that said, you know, the original title was just AI, and people mistook it for... A1 steak sauce. So they thought it was a movie about steak sauce.
That might have been a better movie.
So they said, okay, well, we gotta call it AI, artificial intelligence.
Oh, geez.
True story.
That should tell you about people.
Yeah, you ain't kidding.
Oh,
wow.
Man.
Okay, next movie title, please, Megan Ragan.
Okay, this is my personal favorite. RoboCop 1987.
One of the best movies ever made. One of the best science fiction movies ever
totally.
Made. Yep. And you know what's good about it is because it's one of those movies, I don't remember every scene in it, but there's a sense of humor to it. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. You know? Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah,
Iacocca, high school or grammar school. I mean, oh, my God, it was, stuff was the SUX, 6000 SUX was the car.
SUX?
Yeah. It's a car stock. The 6000 SUX. Oh, my God, that's a classic.
Marina, have you ever been to a frat party?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Just checking. Okay, so, yeah, I love that movie. It's a great movie, and I know it went on to for a sequel and stuff. Did you see that, the original RoboCop?
I probably did, but I'm having a hard time remembering.
No pressure. Okay, all right. So, why don't we go? Next movie, please, Megan Ray.
Well, wait, can I just tell you?
Oh, go ahead, G.O.I. Keep...
It was so good. That when it was first playing in Sacramento, a bank robber had hidden in the movie theater that the RoboCop was playing.
and the concentration to the movie theater, and they quietly evacuated everybody in the movie theater without the robber knowing about it. And then they turned the lights on. He was the only one left in the movie theater, and they arrested him.
Wow. Did they wait till the movie was over?
No.
That would have been
right
nice.
In the middle of the movie.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Next movie, please, Megaman.
Transformers 2007. Megan Fox.
Oh, Megan Fox. She has short thumbs. You ever see a picture of her?
Oh, yeah.
Her thumbs are shorter than most normal people, and she doesn't even work anymore. That's another show. But, yeah, I don't know. I saw it. It's for kids, right? I mean, the big robots turn into trucks and stuff. I'm looking at Marina like you would know. Do you know?
It's the other way around, Mac. It's the other way around, Mac.
Hang on. Go ahead. She came all this way. Go ahead, please. Tell us.
I don't know. I don't really remember. I just know it was for kids.
Yeah, right. It's for kids. Okay. Is that a big movie there, Gary?
Four sequels and a prequel, so there's five movies that were spawned off the Transformers.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty good.
It's a pretty big movie.
Yeah, really.
So, Mac, notwithstanding my personal relationship with Michael Bay,
yes.
What do you think of Mr. Bay's work?
Hey, he makes a lot of money, right? Not the whole idea?
I always liked it.
Okay, go ahead, Corbin. You took the pin out of the hand grenade. Explain to everyone how you know Michael Bay, please.
I was lucky enough to be directed by Michael Bay in a cinematic masterpiece, Bad Boys 2,
yes.
When I was in the Coast Guard.
Remember that one? Go ahead. You
really?
You flew the
Didn't
helicopter.
He did The Last Ship?
He did The Last Ship, yep.
The Last Ship is excellent. Transformers, not so good, but the series on, I think, TNT, The Last Ship was phenomenal.
I agree. The Last Ship was really good. It's one of the few new things that were good.
And he did 13 Hours as well, which I thought was one of the best movies.
Yes. Yes.
Now my taxes are going to you to fly your helicopter around with Will Smith.
No.
Okay. Next movie, please.
Maybe in a way, but we don't need.
So you're good friends with Michael Bay, and you know his dogs, and you're bonded to the dogs.
But I did have a very good time with him, and he was very gracious to alter the scenes the way I had asked him to, so that they would be.
I'm sure.
No,
Cobra, I hope you didn't bring up Pearl Harbor.
No, I did not.
Well done.
I did bring up The Rock, and that was what convinced him that I was for real, that
really?
He would try what I had.
Okay. So. All right, good. Wow, interesting.
I really like Pearl Harbor, so we can talk about that another time.
What Pearl Harbor? Why are you talking about Pearl Harbor? What's Pearl Harbor?
The 3-hour sneak attack on a love triangle? Yeah,
I know what happened.
The love triangle.
Who won that?
The love triangle.
Wow.
Yeah. Megan and I are in lockstep with Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, I can't imagine why. And you and Megan are together at a bar, so that's a raving endorsement.
The original chick that was in it was the star of the show.
Save us, Megan. Next,
that's the guy.
Next movie, please, Megan.
Oh, Kate Beckinsale.
Yeah, Kate Beckinsale.
Wait a minute. No, that isn't Pearl Harbor, man. That's Midway. You nut? That's Midway, isn't it?
No, Pearl Harbor is the one from which Michael Bay should never have walked away alive. Worst movie ever made.
Is that what Ben Affleck is in it?
Yes.
That movie is terrible. Kate Beckinsale. She's a nurse, right? Doesn't she fly an airplane, too?
Yeah, okay. Kate Beckinsale was a nurse that...
Ooh. She could nurse me back to health.
Whoa!
On that, let's roll to the next movie, Megan.
Everyone looks at me. Next movie, please.
Blade Runner.
Oh,
that's a good movie. That's a good movie.
Very good.
Gio, you're the expert. Good movie? Yes, no?
Yeah, it's a classic. It's a cult classic. When it was first released, it was kind of it was a slow movie, a real think piece, and it was kind of a mediocre box office. But after the years passed by, it's become a real cult classic. And guess what? Ridley Scott, the director, says it's his favorite film of all time. And what year was Blade Runner?
Wow, let me guess.
1982.
Wow, 1982. I would have said.
That was when it was released. But what year
was it set in?
Okay.
Oh, what year was it set in? I know what it is. It's like 2019, right?
Very good.
Wow, I'll put that for a guess.
So, Gio, quick question. Do you agree that the director's cut of that is the definitive version of it?
You know, I've only seen the theater release. I didn't.
Oh, my God. I am crushed. I'm crushed.
And given the way Los Angeles looks now, do you think it was fiction or nonfiction?
Oh, I think that the set is now is Los Angeles. Unfortunately, the flying cars haven't quite caught up.
It's just what we need, flying cars. Next,
did they take out the narration? I remember that that Harrison Ford is narrating what's going on, and I don't think the director wanted that in there originally.
That's correct.
Really?
That
yeah. Correct. Huh? Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because usually when they do a narration, that means the movie is not that good, and they have to explain stuff to people.
Well, the suits wanted it. He didn't want it, but the powers that be made him do it. Okay. At the time.
I would say that if you have the opportunity, director's cut of that movie, if you're a fan of that movie, is worth it.
It's a good movie. It's a good science fiction movie. And next movie, please, Megan Regan.
Wall-E? I've never heard of it.
Wall-E, yeah.
One of my favorites.
Wow. Club.
Oh, my.
Yep. Go ahead.
I always had a little Wall-E doll that I used to take everywhere. It was a good luck charm.
That was animated, right? But wasn't there a lot of satire in it? I didn't see it.
Oh, yeah, it was terrific. Just listening to the discussions that they had in there was
What's it about? What's it about?
He was a robot the world ended.
Well, I'm going to check it out.
And okay. So all that was left was a couple of robots and... He fell in love and...
Robot love?
I would say robot love. Wow. They did a lot of interesting things in that.
Oh, really? Yeah, with robots?
They do what robots do. What do you want?
Hey, listen.
How apropos for the times that we live in.
You guys are on the air. Okay, next movie, please. What number is this, Megan, just for the heck of it?
Two.
Okay, two. Okay.
Metropolis.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's a great movie.
Oh, from the 1930s?
From the late 30s, yeah.
Absolutely.
Marina, I just have to look over to you. Do you know? Yeah. Oh, wow.
No. Can you tell I'm not a robo movie?
All right. It's like 1938, 1937. A lot of people might know it from the Queen video because they actually used it. And it's a...
Video Gaga.
Yeah. It's like this... the future past, you know what I mean? It's what people thought the future would look like in 1937, and you know, it's about the slave revolt and everything. But just to watch it is just, you know, it's better if you have a little buzz on or whatever, you know. But it's a really good movie.
By the way, Mac, after we do one, I have a little one last thing to say about Day of the Earth Still, but okay. I'll wait till we're done here.
Gio, do you agree they're on the Metropolis?
Yeah, actually, it was made in 1927. The film takes place in 2026.
Yeah, it was a silent film.
What, 7 years? Yeah, wow. A silent film.
Wow.
Right, let me just ask you, this was Adolf Hitler's and Joseph Goebbels, one of their favorite films of all time. And, you know, a few years afterwards, Goebbels meets with Fritz Lang, the director, who was Jewish.
Go ahead.
And he said it was going to make him honorary Aryan, despite his Jewish background.
You like the movie that much?
Mr. Lang?
Wow.
Yeah, Mr. Lang, we decide who is Jewish and who is not. And I'm telling you, Lang went home, packed his bags, and left Germany right after that.
Good for him.
Hermann Göring did that, too. He said, Ich bestimme, wer ein Jude ist.
Really, yeah?
I'll determine who's a Jew or not.
Okay. Wow, okay. Let's go with our last movie.
Dr. Shane.
Okay, yeah, okay. Are we good? Last movie, Venus, please, Megan. Megan Reagan, last movie.
The Terminator.
Yeah.
Yeah, Terminator. Oh, that's all right. Yeah.
Now that one I saw.
Okay, all right. What'd you think of it? What did you think of it?
I loved it. It was one of my favorite movies. And I'm all excited now because they have
right
Sarah Connor.
Yeah. Don't jump
on
her.
Who's in it, Marina?
Who's in it? Who's in it? Schwarzenegger's in it. Who else is in it?
Arnold.
And Michael Bain and Sarah Connor.
Her name is Linda Hamilton.
She's in the new one that's coming out.
Yeah.
She's in it?
Yeah. Arnold's in it, too.
Is he really? Yeah. Wow.
Oh, my God.
What year was that, Terminator, the original?
1980s.
No, what year was it, Megan?
84.
84. Yeah, that sounds about right. Yep.
That sounds okay, you right. can't have a discussion with Terminator unless you talk about the three responses that show up on the screen. And since this is a family show, we can't talk about them when he's being knocked at the door. And it, on his screen, they show you from the Terminator's viewpoint the three possible responses. One of the funniest.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what is it? Just say it. We'll cut it out.
We'll cut it out.
We'll have to cut it out.
One of the responses was, go away. I'm not feeling well.
Okay.
Please leave me alone.
Yep.
I know what the other one is.
What's the other one, Spitz?
I think it's a blank off, a-hole.
Correct.
We'll leave that in. Okay, well.
It's classic computer-like readout on a black screen with red letters or something. It's a great.
Earlier his echoing sounded cool, but now it just sounds like he's...
It's the alcohol talking.
Is it really?
It sounds like he's a robot.
Yeah, it sounds like he's a robot. Yeah.
Great robot.
Yeah, he's a robot.
Can I say something real quick about
it? Yes, please. Sure. You got all the time in the world there, Switchy.
1,000.
Okay. Yeah, sure. The day the Earth is still, you know how Klaatu is shot.
Yes.
And he's either healed or resurrected, depending on your view.
Yes.
Well, in the short story, he's killed. Mm. And at the very end, the people say to the robot, "We're so sorry that your master has been killed." And he says to them, "I am the master."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Robert King. Okay.
Gort was in charge.
Gort was in charge. Right. Hey, listen. Who knows? We may be better off. We don't know. So that was, Terminator. I like it. Linda Hamilton was at the time married to James Cameron, who, you know, had
right.
unbelievable blockbusters. And they got divorced, I think, right after Titanic. And isn't he the guy who gave her a check and a pen? And he said, just fill out what you want. Then she filled out like $400 million, and he gave it to her. It was like the largest divorce settlement ever. And he just said, fill in the blank.
Wow.
Yeah, Cave's worth so much money. Yeah, he's well into the billions at that point.
If I had made Titanic, I would have done the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know. And I hear he's a real warm and fuzzy human being. Right there, Gary?
Yeah, you know who was considered during the pre-production for the Arno character was O.J. Simpson. But the producer, said he was too nice.
Nice.
He couldn't be a cold-blooded killer.
Okay.
Wow.
True story. Look it up.
That's Hollywood.
With that rim shot.
There you go. So, wow, there we go. 10 top robot movies with our famous Hollywood author, Gary Olson. Gary, how'd it go, would you say?
I thought it was a 10.
It was a 10, okay. That's
you know what we left out, though?
What's that?
Forbidden Planet with Robbie the Robot.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was on the list. Yep.
I was just going to insert into that, even though it's not a movie, Lost in Space.
Oh yes, the robot.
That is the most famous robot from the old days.
Really?
I think it's the same one as Robbie the Robot. Am I wrong?
No.
Who's old days? Yours or ours?
But Robbie showed up a couple times as a guest star. They were kind of like robot.
Switch
rivals.
Knows all this stuff. Okay.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Forbidden Planet was based on a Shakespeare play. How's that?
Yes, The Tempest.
The Tempest, okay. All right. And, it was a good movie, you know, kind of scary. Anne Francis is the daughter in it, and Walter Pidgeon is her father, right, so far?
Yep. And, yes, and the villain were monsters from the id. That's the ID, like Freud.
Right, yeah. Id. Yep. And Disney did the special effects, right? It's actually kind of cool.
Yep.
Thank you, Megan Reagan, for joining us tonight and doing top 10 robot movies. Let's give her a round of applause, please.
This was fun.
Okay. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you real soon. And we'll take, okay, how's that sound with everyone? We'll take a break right now, and we'll be right back after this. You're listening to Mac Maloney's Miltrack Show here on the Distant Thunder Radio Network. We'll be right back after this.
British Secret Service.
Hello, Money Penny.
Hello, 007. How's your mission to steal the secret sex formula from Dr. No-No going?
It'll be going fine, Chip, for the two idiots headquarters sent with me.
Hey, Mac, did Defalo Crumpus just call us idiots?
Yes, he did, 1-1. He's an ungrateful putz.
Nice car, though.
Yeah, and you know what? Now it's my turn.
But if you drive, what am I going to do?
I'll drive, you shoot the machine guns. Okay?
No way, I'm driving. Just
have
a license for you and I'm driving.
Oh, see what I mean, Moneypenny?
But James, we have to get the stolen formula, Dr. No-No, before the big 2-for-1 sale.
I'm on it, Moneypenny, but I've got to rid myself of these two mushmouths first. I still have the red button, don't I?
James! Not the red button.
Cobra, save us.
Hello, gentlemen. And you, Mr. Bond.
Oh, my God. Is that Commander Cobra?
Jumping from a helicopter through the sunroof of my Aston Martin? Well played, Cobra. But what are you doing here?
Besides rescuing my two friends, James, I'm here to tell you that you don't have to steal the cardio sex formula from Dr. No-No. All you have to do is go online and order it yourself. Then you'll have plenty of the new energy drink that can give you the extra endurance you need to get through.
Please, Cobra, tell us why it's called SEX.
It's called SEX for Strength Energy Accelerator. And it's easy to use. Just mix a scoop of water, shake it, not stir it. 30 minutes before you start your workout, and you'll find you can last longer and feel all around better about finishing your regime.
Oh, my.
And the mix comes in many different flavors. My favorite is Passion Fruit.
Mine, too.
Why, you little trollop.
Hey, Mac, look at all these buttons. I wonder what they do.
I don't know. Push one and find out.
Not the big red one.
No!
Jeez, I hope he's wearing his rocket belt.
Guess not.
That's SEX, Workout Dietary Supplement. Available only through Cardillo USA. Visit CardilloUSA.com for more details about our big 2-for-1 sale. That's CardilloUSA.com. And get some sex today.
Hi, I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger. Hear me now and listen to me later. Now here's Mac.
Welcome back, everyone, to Mac Maloney's Mill Tracks show here on the Distant Thunder Radio Network. This is Mac Maloney, Wild West Show. We have for you tonight, first, let me introduce the members of the gang, the posse. On remote from the Starboard Galley, the very famous Juan Juan is here.
Hello, Mac. Okay. Good show so far. Having a good time.
And you've had how many chocolate martinis?
I'm just working on my first one, but I had a Guinness just before that.
Oh, Guinness, okay. And when we saw you earlier, you were drinking peanut butter beer or something, right?
I'm going to be trying some of that stout. That stout that's brewed with chocolate and coffee.
There you go. All of a sudden, he goes into echo.
12.2 ABV.
There you go. Okay, call us a bail. Also, in the pecking order, very famous Coco is on with us from his out there, his secret location in Maine. No, in Western Virginia. Same thing. Western Pennsylvania.
Well, I am someplace in the continental United States.
Really no difference. Okay. All right. You're joining us. And so.
And since he's such a continental guy, it's perfect venue.
Think so. Yeah. Okay. What are you doing that you're echoing there? You sound like you're talking from on high.
He's at Mount Rushmore.
Is he? Okay. Can you fix that on your end there, JJ? The genius you are?
No.
Okay.
Maybe while he's up there, he can bring down some of the Ten Commandments.
Willie Club is here.
Oh, nice. Okay, yeah. Shot. Okay.
Hi, Mac. Hello, everyone.
Agent X, the man who works for the agencies, who works for the agency.
Hello, Mac. And Jia Dweeve, everybody else. Okay.
And also, somehow, I don't know how she's doing it, Marina Rose is here with us.
Hi, Mac. Hi, everybody. Yeah.
And do you give lessons to people or talks or counsel people or something?
I work with people, yes, helping them transform.
Really?
From their fears to their joys in life, yeah.
Really?
Oh, then
taking
you
the
have,
walls down.
What can you do for us?
You have landed in the enchanted island of broken toys.
Oh, boy.
Good job, Coco.
Lucky woman you are. Oh, my Lord.
That's okay. I'm putting it together, but these guys might need some help.
That's what you would know.
The most confident one of our group, but he's an elf.
Switch, did I introduce you already?
Not yet.
Okay. Switch Village Steve Ward, our national correspondent, up there in the Bowl of Flakes.
And it is great to be here.
Okay. And last but not least, our favorite bartender from the Stabbing Galley, Megan Reagan.
Hello.
Okay. The gang's all here. So,
hey, Max.
Yes.
I wonder if Marina can balance my chakras.
Let me translate. Can he buy you a drink? No, no.
We can start next week.
Okay. Last week we had a lot of reaction to, we actually did 10 questions for Megan Reagan. We kind of surprised her. It came out pretty well, I thought. Do you think so, Dea Megan?
I had fun. I mean,
okay.
I don't know how it came out. But
okay.
I still had fun.
All right, you had fun, then it came out well. So
I think it was the guy reading the 10 questions
who was
that made it work.
Okay. All right. Oh, that was you, Switch, wasn't it? For a second, I haven't. Who did read those questions? Well, as it turns out, we got some listener reaction.
And I did it without a contract.
That's true. Okay, why do you keep bringing that up?
You have an Etch-A-Sketch. If you want a contract, we told you what to do.
So,
yeah, but
write anything you want.
Send it to the mail, it all shakes.
That's the problem. So we had some listeners write in, and because Willie Club Security Chief is here, he's going to read us the questions, I guess, right? Is that how this goes there?
It sure is, and I've gone through them previously, so I know that they're appropriate for this. Hi, Megan. How are you?
Okay.
Well, that didn't sound like Megan. But...
Well, Megan, if you...
Okay. So, Megan, these are questions that people wrote in after hearing you last week. 10 questions for Megan Reagan, okay?
Okay.
Ready? Okay, here we go.
Hi, Megan. Last week you were asked if you'd ever broken up a bar fight, and you said
yes.
No.
You said no. Okay.
Now, this listener's question is, have you ever caused a bar fight?
No.
I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
Okay. She would know,
no
right?
Way.
Okay.
I think I would remember, but you never know.
Next question, please.
Megan, are you a good dancer?
Are you a good
yes,
dancer?
Yes, I am.
Wow, huh? Okay. Yeah, I can see that. All right. Okay. Final question.
Megan, were you in your 20s when you got your first? Sorry, Mac, but I had to black that out as security chief.
Oh, really? Okay.
And please don't ask me any hints.
Okay. All right. Well, fill in your own blank, I guess. Okay. Well, that was interesting. Three questions, three people listening very
close.
Wait a
minute, she didn't answer. You didn't get her a chance to answer.
Well, it's going to be redacted anyway, so what's the point?
Wait, what was the question?
Reread the question, please.
I sure will. And again, we have to be careful here, but when you were in your 20s, when you got your first
kiss.
No.
What kind of
question? Okay.
Well, I can't answer any hints.
Okay. Why don't we go on to the alternate question? How's that?
All right. And the last listener question is, do you think you'll cry the next time you see a whale?
Will you cry the next time you see a whale?
Probably. I would definitely get teary-eyed.
What is it about them?
They're like, well, I don't see them every day.
Okay.
You know?
Oh, okay.
They're pretty
all
freaking
right.
Big and cool.
Yes. Okay. Right. Okay. There's a joke in there somehow, but I know what it is. So, how's the remote going there with JJ? Is he behaving himself?
Yes, he's very much behaving himself.
Really? Okay.
Megan, I wish I knew your affection for the whales. I would have shown you some of the pictures we've taken from the aircraft of
okay.
the whales.
All right.
I'll have to remember
I
to
would
that,
love.
You know.
See.
And yeah. This will obviously help strengthen your opinion of me, since it's, I know it's always in need of repair.
Who needs
I actually got to touch a orca down in Antarctica.
Orcas are my favorite.
Isn't that against
oh
the law?
God.
You're not supposed to touch those things.
And Cobra, do those pictures have the whale with or without the harpoons in them?
There you go. Right.
Do orcas have blowholes also?
There you go. That's the blowhole joke I was going for. Marina, I'm going to turn it over to you. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'll never tell. So that's the answer to that okay. remark, Switchblade. I won't dignify that with any further comment.
You told us that when you went on this trip with the people you believe were extraterrestrial, would you say?
Yes.
Okay. And you're on a beach. And
yes.
It sounds like the greatest beach ever, where actually the lounge chairs were actually
comfortable.
Herbs that would heal you, right?
Yes.
And dolphins came out of the water?
Yes.
and licked your toes?
Yes, they kind of like actually pulled my feet. Yes.
Really? Yeah.
Licked at me. Yes. Okay. Trying to pull me in the water, take me with them.
Oh,
yes.
Really? Wow.
Yes. And after I had this experience, I was guided to swim with the wild dolphins in the Bahamas. So that's one of the things I take people to do on my retreats.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yes.
So if you took us as a group, let's say, we would get to swim with the dolphins?
Yes.
Huh. We are down in the Bahamas?
Yes. Bimini is where I've been.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yep.
Have you been down there since the hurricane leveled it?
I have not.
Bimini took some hard hits.
I don't think there's anything left. But, you know, when it grows back in a year.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we could do that as a field trip.
There you go.
Do the people have to be a special kind of person to kind of commune with the
no.
dolphins?
No.
Hmm.
Just appreciate them.
Who's smarter, a whale or a dolphin?
Oh, gosh. I don't think.
I'd say the dolphin myself.
Yeah. Hmm. I mean, I think they have, you know, different attributes. Mm-hmm. So I think it's hard to say.
Yeah, Flipper was an actor, too. So remember Flipper?
He was an actor. Yeah,
but they're all whales. Dolphins are whales, too.
Same family.
Same kind of whale. Yeah, wow.
Actually, it's an interesting point. The orca is misnamed. It's actually not a whale. It is a large dolphin.
That's correct. Right.
And its name was supposed to be Whale Killer, not Killer Whale.
Mm. Really, yeah? Why'd they switch it? Sounds better PR-wise.
I think the branding, they ran it past a branding committee, and I think that's what they came up with. The orcas wanted to be known as their own special group. So, yeah, that's what's
they must have been talking to an agent or a lawyer.
Yeah, they got some ego. Let's just be honest.
Let me ask you this, though.
They got some ego.
If whales were so smart, why did they continue to swim off of Japan where they killed them? Wouldn't they at some point just say, let's not go there? Okay, all right. Sounds good.
just
no marine biologists in the...
Leave the poor whales alone.
That's Jesus. Okay, wow. All right. JJ, he's not on the line. Megan, you're happy with the system that we're working, that we've worked out, the remote system from the Stabber Valley?
Yes, I like it.
Well, that's good. Okay. Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we wrap up the show? Okay, I think we have enough time. Who knows? I want to thank everyone for joining us. Switch, you have any final words there, my friend?
No, if you had called on me last, I might have some final words, but on the spur of the moment, I don't have any, except that this was really a fun show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're concerned about all the potential chaos and everything, but it went pretty well.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, that's the longest I don't have any words, Mac, ending from Switch.
Yeah, really? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, well, I was shooting from the hip. I was just pausing, you know, trying to get some words.
Well, next time, take the gun out of your holster,
you
okay?
Yeah. I just thought you were going to plug your book. That's all Switching. I'm sorry.
Parallels and Patterns, A New Paradigm for the Study of Paranormal Phenomena.
Okay. Sounds really good. Okay. When's that coming out?
That's later.
The question.
Just say the name again. When he asks you that question, just say the title again.
Okay.
Parallels and Patterns, A New Paradigm for the Study of Paranormal Phenomena.
Okay, there you go. Sounds great. Sounds like a bestseller to me. Thank you, Switch, for joining us, and we'll talk to you real soon, okay?
Okay, it was my pleasure.
There
Thank you.
Go. Let's give him a round of applause. You know, we don't clap for Switch enough.
Oh, shucks.
There you go, Switch.
Thank you.
Okay, eat a big breakfast tomorrow, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Okay, so why don't we do this? I want to thank Marina Rose for joining us. What is the spelling of your name? That is not the usual spelling of Marina, right?
Yes.
Or is it?
No, it's not. I have two N's. Marinna.
Okay. Yes. Is that, as X said earlier, is that Russian?
Actually, I changed my name about 8 or 9 years ago based on frequency, vibration of my birth date and numerology.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay.
Yes.
Changed Marina
Completely.
Rose?
Yes.
You became Marina Rose.
Yes,
interesting.
I did.
Wow.
Yes.
Hmm. That's how I became Mac Maloney, because of the vibrations and stuff.
I don't know if I believe you.
Holy cow.
So by vibrations,
what was that 5 second pause?
Yeah. What's that?
So what was your original name, if you don't? I'm sorry.
Jeepers.
I actually have three names. So my birth name was Helen Fitzgerald. I'm actually Helen the Third. My mother was Helen, and my grandmother was Helen. So they didn't really want me to be named Helen, so I was never called Helen.
Okay. I can see why.
It's my legal name.
X and I grew up in Dorchester. We grew up with about 20 Helen Fitzgeralds. Okay.
Okay. Yeah,
so
yeah.
You'd be lost in a crowd.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And so then my mother nicknamed me Lynn. My nickname is Lynn. So that's
nice.
My family name, Lynn.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. But most people know me these days as Marina.
But how did you choose that name? It's a lovely name, if I can say.
because I love the ocean and the sea, and rose is my sea roses are my favorite flower.
Okay.
And
right.
Of course, numerology wise, frequency wise, it was the right vibration for me.
Do we all have lucky numbers?
I wouldn't say they're lucky numbers, but frequency-wise, numbers have vibration, and letters in your name have vibration.
Oh, really? So if I was going to play Keno tonight, what numbers should I pick?
It's intuitively guided.
See, it's JJ. That's
there?
What they always say. No one ever can give us gambling
help. No one has the answer.
Oh. But why would the Great Beyond decide not to give gambling help, yet give all kinds of other help?
Good question.
She literally shrugged her shoulders at me. Okay. All right. Well, it's the eternal question.
It wasn't part of your journey, Mac.
It wasn't? No. What?
You're meant to win, you win.
Okay. Oh, really? Yeah. So
if
it doesn't make any difference?
All
those hours?
I knew that sting was coming. I could see that one coming.
So all the hours I put into studying the NFL are just worthless. Okay. All right. No more football for Brian. I mean, Mac.
Oh,
we can cut that out.
There's a cancellation. There's a vibration that went astray.
Yeah, more like an earth tremor.
Okay. Luckily, club is here.
There's a fissure in the ground.
Thanks, Mac. I really enjoyed it today. Okay. Since everyone else is pushing their books, I'd just like to tell you what I've got coming up. This is my first writing, but it's I think it's going to be pretty exciting. It's part fiction, part nonfiction. It's a thriller. I think it's almost done, and it's called Cybersecurity and You.
Wow.
And it'll be on Amazon, and I expect probably in by Christmas. I hope to get it out by Christmas.
Now,
excellent.
Oh, wow. Now, this isn't a bit. You've actually written this?
I've been spending a long time on this, yeah.
Oh, really?
Not on the job, but I've learned a lot from this job that I put into the book.
We helped sharpen some skills there of deviant behavior and how to prevent it.
That's why
you did, and I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hey,
wow.
Some people are born to greatness. Others are, achieve it different ways. They're clever.
Okay. Sound like we're losing that Western Pennsylvania connection there. Coco, thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you soon, okay? Coco, we should clap for Coco.
Good night, ladies.
Oh, you know, we haven't saluted him. Let's salute him. Let's get it out of the way. JJ usually calls it off. X, you can call it off real quick, please.
Salute.
Everyone. Wow.
Like Irish.
Marina.
Yeah.
That looked like a Russian salute to me. Okay, Coco, we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Ciao.
You're going to send out the save a date for the party?
Yes, I am.
Okay, thank you. X, thanks for joining us. Your book is coming out. Your friend's book is coming out.
Yeah, I was just going to say thank you and good night, but you brought up my friend.
Yep.
It's Wolf of Clontarf, 1014. The Irish, the Vikings, and the foreigners of the world.
There you go. Foreigners.
May 2020.
Okay. I see Game of Thrones something in that book.
That you? Guy's a hack.
There you go. Okay. Yeah. First billionaire ever writer. He's the hack. Thank you, Megan Reagan, who we also have to clap for. I'm sorry. Let's...
Thank you for having me.
Not under contract, but I got a feeling there will be soon. Please tell JJ we said hello, goodbye, and everything in between. So you're listening to Mac Maloney's Miltrax Show here on the Distant Thunder Radio Network. I should remind everyone of the People's Mosquito Project. This is a project from a friend, Rasha, putting together one of these really interesting World War II planes. And also, we are now a podcast, as it turns out. You can hear us on just about every podcast platform. Where the main one is Podbeam. I'm not really sure how it works, but just Google Mac Maloney's podcast. It'll bring you right to our podcast, so you can listen to us anytime.
Download the Podbean app. Download the Stitcher app.
There you go.
Are we on Apple Play?
We're on everything. iHeartRadio.
iHeartRadio.
Yeah. So I think the best thing to do is just Google. Yeah, Google, and they will...
Right. If they go to Paranormal UK Radio, their page, there's a Podbean label there.
Okay. All right. So there's many ways.
They can find your show from there. Yeah.
There's many ways to listen to us now, and also our friends on Dark Matter Radio and also KCOR out in Las Vegas. Thanks for listening in. So, JJ, you're there. Is that right?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Okay. So for the entire gang, did I leave anyone out? I guess not. Everyone's on their phone. I don't understand.
I don't
think so. Calling for Ubers. Quick. This is Mac Maloney for the entire gang. Thanking you for listening. Until next week, be safe, be happy, and...
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
And now, please stay tuned for a special report on Great Britain's mysterious Silbury Hill.
And welcome back, everyone, to Mac Maloney's Military Style Show here on the Distant Thunder Radio and Network. And this is Mac Maloney. We have a full house tonight, virtually and reality-wise, right?
Yeah. Well, I think they're all reality. Okay. Virtual is like, I don't know, make-believe.
Yeah, okay. All right. None of that goes on around here.
No, we don't make it up.
Anyway, in the house with us tonight, the very famous Juan Juan is here.
Yes, sir.
He's
loving every minute of it, too.
Yeah, really? Even the part
even,
where...
Even the crazy mail.
Yeah, they sent a fan letter that half the words were redacted.
Is he going to bring that stuff up Christmas?
Yes.
And
Christmas
then
Eve, yeah, we'll do that.
I make sure I get a box of rubber gloves.
Yeah, there you go. You'll get a box of rubber, my friend. You know, there may be some gloves in there, but the way things are going, you'll have enough rubber.
Ross, it's unbelievable.
Anyway, Coco is here. Commander Cobra.
And lady.
There he is. Okay. Sounds like he has a cold. He didn't mention it to me. Did he mention to you there, Juan? No? During that big bro hug?
No, he sounded fine. I think it's, he must
do you have
be
a cold,
Coburn?
Something. You're just kind of manning up?
Mac, for you, I would go through anything to make the show a success. So
okay. Even manning up to the max.
Really? Yeah. So he took an Alka-Seltzer,
right.
Basically.
That's right.
Okay. Cobra's here. And also joining us from Paris.
Barbara's
every time I
Paris.
Say it, I can't believe it. But joining us from Paris, a forward correspondent, as Coco called her. Superfan Barbara Wirth is with us from Paris.
Bonsoir.
Wow. Okay. We should learn what that means. What does that mean?
Comment ça va?
Okay. And also, a really good friend, the cutting edge, Ross Sharp, is here with us.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. This is wrong. This is wrong. You know what I mean?
Everybody's, you know, Masterpiece Theater and wears a couple of smocks from
this isn't
Exeter.
Right. That's what I said. Someone's
just
in Paris.
The beer. You guys get better the more you drink.
Next thing you know, I'm going to have to contribute money.
Right. Get a little bag for $120 bucks. Yeah.
They'll cut to the pitch girls and ask me for money.
Yeah, right.
Happens every time. Every time I see the Moody Blues, I'm always reaching for my pocket.
Here we go.
Actually, I like Pledge Weeks.
Why would you? Why?
It's all DVR. No, you know, I haven't watched that Beatles.
That's really good. Yeah. 8 days a week. It's okay. It's three
I DVR'd
stops.
It twice just in case.
It's an interesting. It's interesting.
This is Ron Howard flick, right?
Yeah. It isn't.
Scorsese's involved too.
I just didn't like them.
Where's Ross in the world?
Where's Ross?
Where's he?
I'm in Massachusetts.
Right.
Okay.
Yep. A little bit west of London. In Metro West, they call that, you know. They used to just call it out there, but all of a sudden now it's Metro West.
Out off the pike or off
the... It's basically where all the rich people live, kind of, 1%. But anyway, Russ is our friend. He's our friend. And we're going to talk tonight about... You had brought this up a few shows ago. We were talking about something else, and you said, how about Silbury Hill? And none of us had really known about it, you know. Man, I thought I'd read every book there was on this kind of stuff. It was new to me. Just tell people what it is, where it is, and what it is.
Silbury, I used to live in the county of Wiltshire. It's a very wonderful place. It's in the old Saxon kingdom of Wessex. And virtually the whole county is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. It's a county that contains Stonehenge. Everybody knows about that. But to the north, and slightly east of Stonehenge, by about 20 miles, is the tiny little village of Avebury. Avebury contains magnificent stone circles, standing sarsen stones, like Stonehenge, only accessible. But about half a mile out of the village is Silbury Hill, which rises from the rolling downs landscape. It's perfectly conical, and yet it's man-made. It's 130 feet tall. It's about the size of some of the smaller pyramids. And before the cathedrals rose out of the European plain in the Middle Ages, it was the largest man-made object north of the Alps.
Let's stop for a second there. Now this is how strange this is, right? This is in, what was the year they thought it was built in the UK?
Around about 2600 BC. Oh. I can't give the exact year, but I can give you the month.
In the what month? Why would they know the month and not the year? It has some kind of astrological thing.
When it was first excavated, they found the bodies of flying ants, ants with their wings on the bottom layer. And since they only fly at the end of summer, they postulated it was done. It started in August.
See, that's that's an egghead doing his job.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Really, kind of,
that's great. Right there. That's great field science right there.
But you know, the more and more I've read about weird stuff that went on in the UK, man, back in like 3000 BC and everything, that they were able to do these things, kind of things that you can't explain, like Stonehenge, you can't really explain it. But this is a mound that is the size of a pyramid. Okay, here it is. He's showing me a picture of it.
Think about it. It's been estimated to take 7,000 man years to build.
At the time it was built,
the total population of Britain was 20,000. That's about the size of my town, one.
Mm-hmm. In Metro West.
It is amazing. If you manage to mobilize,
good luck getting the Commonwealth, anybody in the Commonwealth to get behind a project like this.
So if you gathered 500 of those people together out of the 20,000, that's 1/40th of the whole of the population. Imagine the political power you had to have to do that.
Yeah, and they had to get paid, right?
14 years to build.
It doesn't make sense in a way. I mean, that's how long it might have taken. That's how long, I suppose, that they were able to, you know, put a time and date to those dirt.
Yep.
But the question is, I mean, I don't think you could do that today, if you know what I mean, you know? I think you could never do it today. But they did it. There was something telling them to do it. And I know there's, like, kind of various theories. One of them was that, you know, that the political power in this little part of England was so you know,
concentrated.
Right. That they would, that the leaders would stand on the top of this thing. Okay. Yeah. Now, this is really crowd controlled to the, you know, biggest extent. But it's like, wow, you know, look at how powerful they are. They're way the hell up there. We're way the down here.
The thing is, if you stand on the top of that, you can just make out Stonehenge in the distance.
See, and Stonehenge is right near it. You know, was it built around the same time?
Same county. Little bit around about the same time, within about 500 years either way. Mm-hmm. If you do that, then you can communicate by smoke signals or waving large flags or whatever, and then you could communicate with the nearby Avebury Stone Circle. So you could sort of, if you extrapolate out, you could put together and coordinate religious ceremonies or sacrifices or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The Romans, when they invaded, normally their roads are in straight lines. They went around the base of this hill. They put an encampment nearby, and they used it as a local watchtower place because you can look over the countryside for huge distances.
Do you think they knew what it was for, the Romans?
Well, rumor was that there was a local chieftain called Zell or Sill, who had a golden horn buried in the center of the hill, or even a statue of himself on a horse. And this caused, the Romans didn't dig, but in the 1800s and the 1700s, there were big excavations. Hugh Percy, the first Duke of Northumberland, got a bunch of Cornish miners together, and they dug a vertical shaft right the way down from the top. They didn't find anything. Mm-hmm. In 1849, the Victorian era, they had a horizontal tunnel dug all the way to the center. Nothing. Now, there was a proper academic excavation in 1968 by Professor Richard Atkinson at University College Cardiff. Mm-hmm. Found nothing. Hmm. There have been so many excavations through this solid structure that it started to collapse, and English Heritage, who have control of the site, had to institute stabilization works.
Right, yeah.
But it is an absolutely mind-bending site.
It's
you
a
go
mind-bending
there,
site, that's
and
right.
You are just struck in awe, the whole place.
Right. And you know, you have to see a photo of it with people in the photo, okay, to get an idea of how huge this thing is. I mean, it's like I say, it's like it's the size of the pyramids, and somehow or other people were building these things, you know, 3,000 BC or 2,500 BC.
These things, how many were talking?
Well, this thing and all this other strange Stonehenge stuff and
Stonehenge
everything. You know,
weird.
There's all there's. It, Russ, am I wrong when I say that there's all kinds of kind of odd stuff like that throughout?
Yeah, half a mile away from where Silbury Hill is, there's West Kennet Long Barrow, which is a Neolithic interment site, and I've been inside that.
Mm-hmm.
Stonehenge is to the south. Woodhenge, which is even more fascinating, which was they found the post holes for something that's analogous to Stonehenge. Mm-hmm. Built in wood,
I think
is nearby. It's just full of this. The whole landscape is classified by UNESCO as a World Heritage Site.
Mm-hmm.
It's just and I completely forgot the world's largest concentrated of carved chalk horses. You know, the big white horses.
Oh yeah.
There are over 13 in the county,
and it only makes sense if you're seeing them from above. You know,
yeah.
Yeah.
So why would you
do
this? Hey, listen, Barbara, with they're in Paris. What do you think of all this? You think this is just? Do you think that they had extra help? In quotes.
It's really hard to say. You know, as someone who believes in extraterrestrials and kind of all that stuff, it's hard to believe it was just humankind.
Right.
Like maybe, I guess, and Ross would know.
If you're talking about extraterrestrials, Barbara, just look up Warminster, which is in the same county, and then fall off your chair.
Wow.
Because Warminster,
we'll catch you.
Warminster,
okay.
Because that is the hot spot
in terms of
UFO activity.
Mm-hmm.
It's also on a direct ley line concentration. This county is I lived there for 17 years.
Wow,
and
okay, in the neighborhood.
Something else, really
yeah.
is.
But let me ask you this. Let's say there weren't ETs involved, but could it be that we just really don't know who these people were and we just kind of, you know, assume from a lot of different factors that they were kind of like, you know, not cavemen, but...
Just regular guys.
Yeah, you know.
They can't
not
be anyway more intelligent than us.
I mean, they were intelligent for their own time, you know, but...
Right.
It's accumulated.
We have clues. If you look at the bottom layer of Silbury Hill excavations, you will find they start out in a spiral, right? You know, gradually building outwards, and they have medium-sized slabs of sarsen stone. They have tree branches. They also have sprigs of mistletoe, and we know the Celtic people that followed these people, right, venerated mistletoe.
Mm-hmm.
As a religious object. So that's how we can extrapolate there was some religious activity associated with the creation of this incredible monument. And I think that many people who come to London for a short break and they might take a coach trip out to see Stonehenge, and if you go to mm-hmm. Stonehenge, it's absolutely full of visitors. The locals in Wiltshire, where I lived, we left Stonehenge to the Americans and the Japanese and everyone else comes. We had Avebury because that you can walk amongst the stones, you can mm-hmm. touch them, you can get a feel the place, right? Okay, and it's much more significant because Avebury, you've got Silbury Hill, and West Kennet Long Barrow all clustered together. It is. And we're going to completely ignore Avebury Manor, which is the subject for another talk.
Is that like a haunted house?
Oh, that one has more ghosts than you can shake a stick at, including that's preceded by the aroma of roses, believe it or not.
Wow. Hey, listen, when we saw the ghost here the other night,
yep.
I didn't smell any roses, did you?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so... I suppose there's different kind of, you know, levels of ghosts, you know. There's the highfalutin ghosts, and then there's
thinking back on it, I'm going, yeah.
Did we smell roses? Was that
what
that smell was?
You know, he was definitely taking on the characteristics of the person Pistol Pete was talking about.
Oh, really?
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The guy who died 2 years ago?
The guy who died.
Bob.
But we don't know if he died in the building, but Bob right. from down up
But he
the
lived
street.
Next door, so it was close by.
Yeah.
Wait, you guys saw the ghost?
Yeah.
Well, Juan did. And then the other night we were here and he's trying to fix his microphone and the light over his head Yeah, it wasn't on. It was,
what happened, I was saying, I'm trying to screw something in on the mic, and I said, I wish I had a little bit more light here. And I was about to get my telephone and turn on the flashlight app. All of a sudden,
the light comes
the broken on. Fluorescent light that's above me, that's still broken, by the way, came on. Both of them, both bulbs came on.
And we just looked at each other and said the fudge word, and then it went back out again.
Yeah, that was enough light. It's all the light I needed,
actually. It was
really
pretty crazy. And neither of us were in any condition to really... appreciate what was going on. Anyway,
we were we watched and we were amazed.
I know I have to throw this to Cobra because I know he's just like bursting with, you know, his thoughts on this. Cobra, what, you know, do you think this was man-made? Really man-made? Hours and stuff, that nothing fits. You know,
I agree that when they come up with the estimates and they talk about it, it seems incredible that you. When you look at the total population, it leads to how do you get these, you know, dramatic aerial views? How do you get these alignments that they got out of that? I think you're right, Mac. It points to a lot of possibilities for many possible ways that they had outside help or extraterrestrial type help. But there are some things that, you know, have never been explained about how things went on in Egypt and how the pyramids were done. They've never completely figured out the construction.
Right.
And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't, I don't rule anything out, but obviously there is some knowledge that we have lost.
Yes.
And I will give you the modern metaphor on that. I told you about this before. You know, if you take a group of young folks out now and say, okay, to survive, we need to start a fire. The first thing they're going to do is take out their smartphone and YouTube how to start a fire. Okay.
Yeah, right. Very good, so, Cobra. Yeah. A little social commentary.
So we lose knowledge. As we gain knowledge in some other areas, we lose other skills. And there are some very famous things right here in the United States, in Florida, people that built these structures, and they knew these ancient techniques of balancing stones and getting them into positions that they would pivot around with very little human force to get them to open and close and I think that there's a lot to be said. Where is the source of that knowledge? I think anything is open.
But and the technological conundrum blows my mind.
But yeah, it's like
there has to been have to been some kind of
we don't know
forces.
These people had something going down that we don't know about. That's really
I don't
the only
think
answer.
Caterpillar and Euclid were in business.
Right, that's
then.
What I mean. So what was it? The ability to move rocks easily or something like that? Or? Yeah.
The ancient Nepalese and the Tibetans moved through sound.
Sound is a big mover.
And down in South America, there's these fortresses up in these high mountains that like we couldn't build today. And you know, who built them? And what did they know that we don't know that they had? Anyway, Ross Sharpe, thanks for joining us tonight.
My pleasure, Mac, as always.
From Metro West. From the other side of the Thames River.
Absolutely.
Right?
From Wellesley to Framingham. It's all good.
Kind of. Yeah, right. Yeah. You know, once again, where all the rich people live. So anyway. Yeah. Thank you, Russ, for joining us and for making us, for classing up the show.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Much obliged.
See you later. This is Mac Maloney for the entire gang. Thanking you for listening. Until next week, be safe, be happy, and
bye-bye. Bye-bye.